Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast. We share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Sarah Schley. How are you, Sarah?
Hey.
Welcome Terrific. To the podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much, Dr. Watson. It's just such a pleasure to be here and to meet you. I'm grateful. And I'm doing well today. Survived the hurricane.
Survived the hurricane. You're up in Massachusetts. We're glad you're here with no issues taking place with your home or your community. So that's a blessing as well. So Sarah, for the folks who may not know you out there, can you briefly introduce yourself to the audience, please? And what's the latest going on with you?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm honored to be here today specifically to speak about a memoir that I've written called Brainstorm From Broken to Blessed on the Bipolar Spectrum. I think we'll get into it, Dr. Watson, but I've been, you know, wrestling with this story with my own mental health for over 40 years and just finally decided to come out with it, with a goal. The book has a goal of three things: one, to end the stigma around mental illness; two, reduce suffering; and three, save lives. Wow. And as we talk more about why, what I mean by the bipolar spectrum, I think, you know, your listeners will understand why it's important to tell the story now.
That is awesome, Sarah. And kudos to you for having the courage to come out and share your story and using your book and your experiences to help others as well. So I really appreciate that. If folks Thank are you. Looking to get a hold of you or follow you, what's the best way to do that?
Probably best way just to come right to my website and find me there. It's sarahschley.com. The way my name is spelled is Sarah, no H, S-A-R-A. And then my last name, Schley, S-C-H-L-E-Y. We'll say that again later, probably sarahschley.com. Thank you so much for asking.
Absolutely awesome. So be sure to make sure you follow Sarah, get her book. Very, very timely, because mental health is a big issue in our community right now, in our nation right now. So very, very timely for this podcast. I'm very thankful to have you on. So Sarah, as you know, the podcast focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having you just share your story in terms of how you've made it through your toughest time. So tell us a little bit about the genesis that you can recall of when, as you battle this disorder with mental health and bipolar. Tell us how, you know, your earliest memories and some of the
Okay. challenges. Yeah, sure. I mean, I was blessed to be, you know, raised with a fair amount of privilege. I was in college at age 21 and I was doing well in school and, you know, heading off to medical school, actually. Wow. And I had a 4.0 in science, and all of a sudden, boom, like clockwork, almost exactly on my 21st birthday, I had a breakdown and my brain stopped working. I was able to do complicated science before that, and I almost couldn't add 2 + 2. Wow. And it was terrifying. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't be around people. I couldn't really, my brain was broken in many, many ways, which I describe in the memoir. And I had some experience with it, Dr. Watson, because my mother also wrestled with depression, and my grandfather did. But I didn't know that I had, you know, what she later called the family disease. And part of my story is how much I resisted, because I didn't want that, you know, I didn't want that label.
Sure.
So those are the early days, first experience.
You know, that's incredible. And again, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, so as a 21-year-old in college, and you're faced with this challenge with bipolar disease, talk to us about some of the feelings, because again, I have a couple of family members who are battled with that as well. But for those folks who may not necessarily know and have firsthand experience with that, talk to us about some of the feelings that you had to endure as you were kind of, you know, figuring out this new thing that was taking place in your life.
Okay. Well, a couple things. First of all, I didn't know it was bipolar for 40 years.
Wow.
So that we have to explain why the diagnosis took me, 25 years until I had my diagnosis from age 21 to 46. So we got to talk about why it took so long in the first place. But then in terms of feelings, I would say, you know, terror, grief, and flat affect. I mean, just an inability to experience joy of any kind. Sure. And if you know me, it's sort of the opposite of who I am, or, you know, normally in my healthy time, I tend to be a person who's grateful and, you know, and excited about life in general. And so the delta between my, my healthy self and my active, you know, depressed bipolar brain was so dramatic for me that it was really terrifying. Wow. Like, it was like, what happened? And so, like I said, flat affect, grief, terror about what was happening to my brain. Yeah. Wow.
That's incredible. And again, I really appreciate you being honest and sharing about that. You mentioned it was a 25-year process before you were properly diagnosed. Tell us a little bit about why that was the case and how it came about.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's really important. Really, one of the reasons I was passionate to finally write this book is that, so the brain that I have is known as bipolar Roman numeral two. It's also, that is on the bipolar spectrum. And most people, like, I had no idea that there isn't such a thing as a bipolar spectrum. You know, we've heard of the autism spectrum, maybe heard of sexuality spectrum, but it turns out there's a spectrum for the bipolar brain. And on one end is what's called bipolar Roman numeral one, which is kind of the classic, what you would expect, huge highs, huge lows, right? So they're manic, somebody's manic, and they're on shopping sprees, sex sprees, you know, up all night long, saving the world. And then the next crash, right? So that's a classic bipolar one, and that's actually easy to diagnose. But what I have, bipolar two, or other, you know, stops along the bipolar spectrum, which you could think of kind of like a rainbow, you don't see the classic high. So my normal is high energy, but no one would diagnose that as manic, right? So what happens is that you show up in a therapist's office or a psychiatrist's office. It took me a long time to be willing to go to a psychiatrist, and we can talk more about that, but because of the stigma. But you show up in a therapist's office, and what they see clinically is a depressed person, you know, severely depressed, clinical depression, can't get out of bed, can't go to work, can't have, you know, engage in all the normal activities of life. And so they think you're depressed. When I finally did go to a psychiatrist, like 20 years later, because I had baby young twins, one of them had a severe health challenge, which thank God she's fine now at age 19. But it was so traumatic that I just, like, I got to do whatever I can to get my brain working. So I finally had a friend drag me to a psychiatrist to get a script. And the scripts that I got for many years were connected to what's known as unipolar depression. You may have heard, like, Prozac, Lexapro, Zoloft, the classic SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, I think. But people think, you know, what they know is, oh, I'm depressed, I'll get one of those drugs.
Sure.
Well, it turns out for most bipolar people, those, and at least in my case, those drugs are a recipe for disaster because they made me worse.
Wow.
Because of the wrong diagnosis. And wow. So I'd show up a week later worse, they'd give me more of the drug, which would make me worse.
Sure.
And you can imagine that mental model, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's more to share, but
that is amazing. I really appreciate you sharing that as well. So, you know, as you were going through this, I think you mentioned that you did finally find a doctor who was supportive of you. Did you have any other supportive folks in your life to serve as mentors or guides as you were going through this? You're talking about a 25-year span.
Yeah.
The people in your life who really kind of encouraged you or helped guide you to that place of healing?
Yes. I mean, I think it's my span of kind of like, it was intense in my 20s. I had like many, many severe, and when my depressions would be 9, 10, 11, 12 months.
Wow.
Some people have shorter, you know, there's all different, they call them rapid cycling. Mine were severe for many months at a time, mm-hmm. over years, but then I'd feel well for a year and then down for a year. And then there was a period in my 30s that was better. And then other things happened that triggered the depression again. Sure. But in terms of support, I mean, Dr. Watson, very blessed in this domain, very, very blessed. And I wish every listener was. We have to have support to get through this stuff. And we have to be able to get through our own shame. Absolutely. To be willing to reach out. That's the hardest part. My husband, Joe, came along in my early 30s. So not in the early part. He's wonderful. And he's a huge support. He's like a rock. My family, because of my mother's situation, I have three siblings. And you know, we have our classic sibling rivalry, whatever. But when I was sick, they showed up, every one of them, because they understood what was going on for me to some degree because of experience with our mother. So they were very important, rock steady during my downtime, dark times. And then I have, you know, various friends over the course of my life who've been amazing. I could list them off. But and then later, I didn't go into therapy until later. But before I was willing to go to a psychiatrist, that was too much of a stigma. I did seek out some counselors, therapists, and that was very helpful. Yeah.
That is awesome. And it really just shows the need to have that support as we're going through those challenging times.
You know? Absolutely. I'll tell you, my new book, sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead,
Just because you said support, you kind of read my mind. One of the things I've learned from some of the doctors I'm working with now is they have sort of like a diamond approach to dealing with bipolar and I think any psychiatric illness where you need a medication. And the four pillars of the diamond are medication, support, therapy, and then what I call practices for a healthy brain, which is all the stuff we can do for ourselves to prevent any, this kind of like a bipolar or other mental illness flare.
That's a great framework. And I think that'll be helpful to a lot of folks out there who may be looking for a way to get their head around that as well. So, you know, Sarah, as you look back on your darkest day, now what kept you fighting to say, I got to figure this thing out? Because again, you know, there are people who don't keep fighting to get beyond the barriers of mental health or physical health or other things. There was something in you that kept you fighting. What kept you
fighting? Yeah, I know. I am getting chills when you say that, Dr. Watson, because I know there are people that succumb, and I have to tell you, don't judge them.
Right.
Because I know how hard it's been. And there were days, many days, days after days after days where I just didn't know how I'd get through that day or even through the next hour, suicidal, wanting to leave the planet, not imagining how I could stay on the planet. But I think, you know, at least for the, from year 2002 on, I had my children to think about. Yes. My twins were born in 02. And I know that even in my most bleak moment, something in me would not leave my kids with a legacy of mother who committed suicide.
Absolutely.
So I was like, I'm going to go to hell and stay there rather than do that. There, that was something in me. Prior to that, though, there were quite a number of years, and I don't know what kept me going. I mean, I don't, on some of those days, it was just get through one more day. But I would say the support of people who love me and imagining what it would have been like to them if I, like my mom, you know, or my husband or my siblings before, even though at that point you kind of think like they'll be better off without me, which is this crazy disease talking.
Absolutely.
You know, I should just leave and it'll be less of a burden on them. But luckily something said to me, you know, just kept me here.
That is awesome. I'm glad that you listened to that voice to say, stay here, and thought about your kids in that process as well. You know, so as you look back years later, how would you say this whole ordeal has kind of shaped you as a person?
Yeah, I would like to ask you the same question because when I read your bio, you're an awesome human being. But you're interviewing me. Otherwise, we go back and forth maybe another time.
On your podcast. You got to get your podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do. You know, I've actually written about it, so I can share in the book what I talk about is, here's what happened to me. I kept ready to press send on this book, and then I felt stigma, and I wouldn't do it. And then, you know, so the last thing I wrote was my editor. She said to me, okay, here's your assignment. Go home and write, I'm bipolar and a better person because of it.
Yes.
And when I wrote that, I was like, okay, I can do this. And four things came to me. And I'm curious what yours are. But for me, one was emotional fearlessness. Yeah. Like you can show up in your, you know, whatever the most painful moment of your life and you will not scare me.
Absolutely.
And I will be there honored to be in support of you, but you won't scare me. So I'm calling that emotional fearlessness. And I do this practice. It's also on my website called Shadow Work, which was developed by a guy called Cliff Barry. Now, one word, if you're interested to look it up, Shadow Work. And that really takes people to sort of their, you know, most painful traumatic experiences. And I'm there as a guide and I can do that because of what I've been through.
Absolutely.
That's one. Another one is compassion. Like I said, you know, when I see folks on the street or homeless folks or, you know, even somebody, heaven forbid, who's committed suicide, my heart is with them. You know, I know they're but for the grace of God and some good medicine and good family members and friends, I would be right where they are.
Absolutely.
So I'm not judging anybody.
Yeah.
So I think there's compassion. And then the third thing was discipline. Because if we talk a little bit more about it, I do a lot of stuff to prevent. What I say is I have a deep respect for my bipolar brain. Yes, and what that means, I have to do stuff to protect it. So sleep, diet, exercise, meditation, prayer, you know, connecting with the community, joining my chorus, whatever, yes, you know, yes. I do a lot of that. So I call that discipline, because people who don't know about my brain will say, wow, you're so disciplined. Yes, how'd you do that? And I go, you should see what's on the other side of this.
Right. Absolutely.
And then the last thing is gratitude, you know, and that's my prayer practice. But I think what happens, and you may have a similar experience, Dr. Watson, you know, when you've been down that far and you come back, you appreciate every moment that's healthy.
You're so right. There's not many things that don't go by you that you don't appreciate. Yeah.
It's just, so your gratitude kind of is on steroids, so to speak, of like, look at this amazing world. My brain works. I can do dishes.
Yes.
You know, like I literally couldn't do dishes when I'm sick because I can't sequence a dish. I can't, you know, folding laundry, that sounds crazy, but being able to be outside and enjoying my life, my family, my friends, it's a friggin' miracle.
Absolutely.
And I'm aware of that most of the time.
That is a blessing. So glad that you're here. You know, so Sarah, as you look back now, would you do anything differently on your journey?
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, such a great question. You know, if I'd known to get to a psychiatric doctor earlier, I would have. If I could have gotten over that stigma, if I'd gotten a doctor to understand the bipolar spectrum and that there's such a thing as bipolar too, which I finally did 25 years later and could have gotten, I wouldn't have had to suffer so many years.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know, so I would encourage listeners, if there's, you know, if you think you might have something that could have a chemical imbalance in your brain that comes from ancestral trauma or comes genetic or comes any other way, there's no stigma, get help. There's no reason to suffer. And I tell people, like, if you were diabetic, you'd get insulin and you wouldn't feel a stigma. Well, the brain is a physical thing, right?
Absolutely.
So that's probably one thing I would do differently.
That is awesome. I think that is great advice. And I think a lot of people can take that up as well, though. You know, don't worry about the stigmas, but go on and take care of yourself, right? Because you want to be better. You know, so, you know, Sarah, we're coming off a tough year. People lost loved ones, finances, employment. There have been people who've lost hope out there, Sarah.
Right.
What information or what advice could you give those folks out there who are hanging on by a string and hoping for a better day? What can you tell those folks, let them know a better day is going to come?
Well, that's such a good question. I mean, it has been brutal for people who are losing family. And I have to be humbled in my response because, you know, there are people in situations that I've never had to be in. Absolutely. You know, virtue of my relative privilege, you know, white skin gal, right? And with some family who could support me in my worst days. So I don't want to be glib or flippant about what some people might be experiencing that I haven't. But that said, I think for hope, I think we have to find support. You know, we have to get with our people, find community. Faith-based, if you have that, if that works for you. If not, maybe it's, I don't know, yoga or meditation. One of the things that's worked best for me is my local chorus, because there's something about singing that, you know, lifts our spirits, and it's in community. Absolutely. So I think for hope, it's got to be like reaching out, finding activities to be in community. Ideally, you know, even with COVID, get outside for a walk, social distance. I mean, I never stopped that all the whole COVID time. Mm-hmm. 6 feet away, you know, right. Masks on. Now I have my shots. Everybody should get their shots. Yes. You know, so there's never, I could always go for a walk with somebody, be outdoors, feel that social engagement, always make me feel better. Yeah.
That is phenomenal advice. And I really appreciate you sharing that with the folks out there. And Sarah, I mean, your story's been absolutely amazing. You've been encouraging to me. You've been encouraging to a lot of folks out there. If people want to get a hold of you, and tell us the name of your book one more time.
Okay, great. So the book, and I went through a bunch of subtitles. It's called Brainstorm with a capital S, all one word, but Brainstorm, and the, you know, play on words there, meaning storm in my brain. And then the subtitle is From Broken to Blessed on the Bipolar Spectrum.
Yes.
So it's Brainstorm, From Broken to Blessed on the Bipolar Spectrum. it's important for me to talk about, you know, that journey from broken to blessing, and also the bipolar spectrum, because I want people to understand there's such a thing. Right. Best place to reach me, you know, I'm not as much of social media as I should be. So sarahschley.com, sarahschley.com, sarahschley.com. Just reach out to me on the contacts. I'd love to chat with you. And you can also find information there about the book, and pre-ordering the book and that kind of thing.
Awesome. When is the book set to come out?
Book set to come out early December.
Right.
And, and you know, I really believe that it has a capacity to save lives. So, you know, if you or someone you love, I think I have like a little video about it, is, you know, are you brutally depressed? You've tried everything and nothing's working. You may be on the bipolar spectrum and you didn't know there was such a thing. Well, there is. And here's what you can learn about, because once you get that diagnosis right, then you can get better.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. I love it. So folks out there, pre-order the book, get the book. Share with folks you may know, follow Sarah, and it's going to be a big blessing to you. So Sarah, we talked about a little tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun now?
Sure, I love to.
All right. This portion of our podcast is called a rapid fire purpose questions.
Okay.
A number of questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer, best concise answer, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go, Sarah. Tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
He's going to love that I say this, my husband.
Oh.
It took me a while to get there. So I kept envisioning. We work hard on our marriage and it's good.
Yes. Oh, awesome. What's your husband's name?
His name's Joseph Lauer. L-A-U-R.
Joe. Shout out to Joe.
Joe. Yeah. And my kids. I mean, that became reality. We had a hard time a little bit with fertility because of a lot of reasons I won't get into, but those guys were totally turning a dream into reality.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Sarah, what gives your life meaning?
I would again say children, grandchildren, community, friends, talking with you right now. And I really think for me, I mean, I was a corporate consultant for 30 years and did a lot of great work in systems thinking and social change, and still do some of that work. But right now, it's really giving my life meaning, telling the story. Absolutely. Because I want to save lives. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah. What one word best describes you?
Visionary, loving, compassionate. That's three.
I love it. We'll let you get away with that.
Okay.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play sports.
Okay. What do you wish you had more time to do?
More time. Oh, that's such a great. You know, it might be, yeah, I guess it would be visiting all the kids. There's one in Milwaukee, one in California, two in California, a bunch in Texas, grandkids everywhere.
Okay. There you go.
I wish they lived next door.
Absolutely. Yes. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
President of the United States.
I love it. My vote there. Yes. Who inspires you the most?
You do.
Oh, I love it. Even love you more, Sarah. There you go. Good answer.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to think more about that. Uh-huh. I was going to say Michelle Obama.
Okay.
But probably some woman leader in politics. Oh, I know. Jacinda Ardern, New Zealand Prime Minister. If you don't know about her, look her up. She's incredible.
Awesome. I love it. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
Well, besides the bipolar piece, which is usually the surprise people have. What's the surprise? I like to cross country ski in the 20-degree weather.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of winter.
That is unique. Yes, that is unique. What is on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Within the next year, I'd like to go to Alaska for summer solstice when it's almost all day. And that's my best friend from kindergarten lives up there.
Hey, I love it. I love it. What is something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
No matter what? If they're around, I'll be with my kids. Wow. And Joe. But I also self-care. I have to because of the brain. So that means exercise, mostly. Yes. Outdoors.
What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
She was fun, loving, courageous, adventure grandma.
Oh, I love it. If you were a superhero, Sarah, what would your superpower be?
My superpower would be the ability to fly safely to all the places on the planet I want to go.
Absolutely. Do that safely, Lisa. There, I like that.
Right.
What sparks your creativity?
Wow. this is popping in my head, but it's going to be rest.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wrote another book called Secrets of the Seventh Day, which is about the Sabbath and taking a seventh day for rest.
Sure.
And I think that renewal is really important.
Yeah.
To unplug and just have some time to be present with, you know, the God or the source of all or whoever you think is can support you.
I agree. I love it. Sarah, if you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh boy, there's a bunch of them. Okay. Let's stop mass incarceration. Let's stop childhood prisons. Let's stop gun control is a big law right now. Carbon credits so that we get rid of carbon in the air. Immigration, let the dreamers be free.
Yeah. Well, you got to get a lot of votes. You get a lot of votes out there. All right.
You can see where my politics are.
Absolutely. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Okay. So let's say, who would it be? Okay, Kamala Harris.
Okay.
Because I want her to be the first female president, woman of color. And I think she's brilliant. I'm really curious to see what she's doing right now because we haven't heard much about her since she got elected.
Yeah.
And I think she's a hot ticket and I'd like to just hang out with her.
Awesome. I love it. What do you love to do for others?
For others. I like to feed them, cook from vegetables from my garden.
That's good.
I like to host people. You know, we're always having people at the house. Yeah. Come on over, Dr. Watson.
Okay. I'll look you up there.
When you're in Massachusetts, please do. Absolutely. Love to have you.
What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Best gift. I'm going to say this is going to be, again, non-material, but my spiritual teachers who taught me about Shabbat, Secrets of the Seventh Day. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And gratitude practice, getting up every morning. They taught me that. Yeah.
Absolutely. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
That I'm, generous and kind.
Okay, love it.
And my kids tell me I'm a great mom.
Hey, that right there, there's nothing else matter.
Nothing better, right?
Right. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I have pretty much never been afraid to tell the truth. Is that true? No, that's not true. There's been times when I've been afraid to tell the truth. I would say I've never been afraid to just be in my body outdoors doing crazy things.
Yes.
You know, hike, ski, whatever. I want to tell you something about my kids in the book before we end. Okay.
Okay.
You said about their compliment, but I want to tell you something about them.
Okay. We'll definitely come right to that then.
Okay.
What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
From my childhood? Oh boy. I got an award in high school for being the scholar athlete. Okay. I was proud of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Number one. I was proud of it because of the first time they'd ever given it to a woman in hundreds of years of my high school. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. I love it.
That was fun.
What does success look like for you, Sarah?
Success for me looks like, of course, health, but it looks like a community. I'll tell you, there's a movie called Antonia's Line, which I love. But anyway, in it, the line is this table that gets longer and longer. People she's feeding in her backyard. So that success for me is, you know, a diverse community of people coming to my home. There's a lot of love and laughter and singing, and I'm feeding them. Yes, and they're feeding me, too.
Yeah. What are you most grateful for, Sarah?
I am grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my kids' health and for my family's health. Yeah, for sure. Because now you know. I know what it means.
Makes sense, yes. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
From my bipolar brain, the lessons around gratitude and compassion, discipline and fearlessness, yeah.
Absolutely. And before I go to my last question, I'm going to have you share the piece you're going to share about your kids. And
okay, this is awesome because being with the bipolar stigma, I didn't want to come out with my story until they were old enough to give me permission, really. So there was a moment when, for a bunch of reasons you read in the book, I thought I was ready to write, but I wanted to get their permission. And I told them about the stigma and I told them about my dilemma, would I sacrifice my career and my reputation and all that kind of stuff and those fears? And they're twins. Without a moment hesitation, almost simultaneously, they said, "Mom, you've got to do this. This is the most important thing you could ever do. You're going to save lives. Wow. You have to do this, Mom." And I was both so proud of them in that moment. Absolutely. And also tears, but also I thought, wow, okay, I got to do it.
It's so amazing for your kids to recognize that you had this call in your life to do this as well. That's amazing.
I think they were 16 at the time. So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. And last but not least, Sarah, how do you want to be remembered in history?
In history, wow. Well, like I said, from the grandkids, you know, fun, adventurous, loving, kind, compassionate. I would like to be remembered for this book. I would like to be remembered that this saved millions of lives, because there's 60 million people out there misdiagnosed right now. So I think that would be a good thing to be remembered for.
Wow, that's awesome. Brainstorm. Sarah, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job.
Round of applause for you, my friend. Come visit me. Thank you so much. Thank you,
Sarah. Before we get to wrap things up, I want to just a couple things first. First, I want you to tell our listening audience where to get a hold of you again.
Okay, should I do that now? It's sarahschlee.com, which is S-A-R-A, no H, S-C-H-L-E-Y, sarahschlee.com. And you'll find me there. You can just go to the contacts and I'll write you back. Okay. And you'll also find more information about the book Brainstorm there.
Awesome. Reach out to her, folks out there. So Sarah, as we wrap things up here, the purpose of our podcast centers around a couple things: purpose and resiliency.
Yes.
What last words can you leave our listening audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Okay, I'll start with resiliency first. Yeah, it's essential, right? And I think, what I get into in the book, I call it ERN, I always have these acronyms, which is exercise, renewal, and nutrition. And so I think for resiliency, you really have to go back to basics and take care of our bodies. And I also have another one called PECS, physical, emotional, creative, and spiritual. Okay, so the physical things, exercise, renewal, nutrition, emotional support, creative, singing, writing, whatever, spiritual, you know, whatever your spiritual practice is. So I think those practices that are in the book are really important for resiliency. And faith, you know, purpose, right? Have something that you're going to do for someone else, right? A mission of service. And that's going to keep you going. You know, you've got your mission of service here, Dr. Watson, which is beautiful and brilliant. I think that's what it is. Any mission of service is a blessing.
Wow. I appreciate that. Sarah Schlee, everyone, give her a round of applause. Sarah, you've been amazing. I thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Folks out there, if you're a listener, I want you to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Go download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. We want to thank our sponsors today. If you have an amazing story out there, we want to hear from you. Please go to twatson.com, share your story with us, and we would love to have you on the show. Everyone else out there, thank you for your time today. Everyone, God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.